From Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world, Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are. Happy Friday to you. Friday, the 7th day of September, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. And an interesting, it's not a done deal, but there are plenty of reports out today that Les Moonves, who is the chairman and CEO of CBS, that he is in negotiations with CBS to exit the company for, drum roll, $100 million. Yep. CNBC says that the CBS board is in deep talks with Les Moonves that would result in him leaving the company. Moonves has apparently also told Confidence about the exit talks. It's unclear if he's going to try to fight the board, but $100 million. And this comes after Moonves was accused by six women of sexual misconduct in the New Yorker last month. This is another one of those Ronan Farrow stories. And CBS finally did what they should have done right from the beginning, is they should have, they eventually decided to hire, I believe, two outside legal firms, law firms, to conduct investigations while Les Moonves remained at the company. So he was basically removed from his job, but was not fired. And now that they are in negotiations, it makes, I don't know, it makes a mockery of all of this Me Too stuff. Because for you women that are out there in the world of business, and this was there was a woman that worked for Les Moonves, just one of the stories where he had her in his office, and before she knew it, he jumped on her, on top of her, pushed her down on her, on a sofa in his office, and was kissing her, and just, she said, I did everything I could to try to get him to stop, and finally she said she did. She did, pulled some, said some joke or something to make him stop. She got up and got the heck out of there. I mean, for the life of me, I don't understand these people, the Charlie Roses and the Harvey Weinsteins that come out, come up to my hotel room and go around the corner, take all their clothes off and come out stark naked, old guys, old fat guys, and do they think this is just a great technique or something? And so here's a guy jumping on a woman on a sofa in his office. Is this some sort of, do they just think that, I don't know what they're thinking. I have no idea. But here's the deal. So you accuse me of sexual harassment. I will go negotiate a $100 million exit fee, and then you and I will split it. I mean, no, I'm not going to be able to get a $100 million exit fee. I won't get a penny. This is to pay him anything, I think, totally gives the next guy the green light to say, so I jumped on you, so I pinched your rear end, so I grabbed you where I shouldn't grab you. So what? The worst that can happen to me is I'll get a big check and I'll go into my life of retirement. That's what this says. There is no punishment for his behavior if it is in fact true. So, man, they got rid of Charlie Rose fast. And now Charlie Rose is suing the women who have accused him of sexual misconduct. And that's what happens. And that's how this goes, is that if you are a woman and you push back and sue somebody for sexual harassment that is a superior of yours in your company, you are going to be in legal la-la land for a long period of time, because these guys are going to use their power and their money to fight back and fight back hard. I told you the story before. I worked with, I knew this guy who was running a company, and he fired a bunch of these salesmen and hired a bunch of really attractive younger women to work in sales. Then he went to them and said, by the way, if you go with me this weekend away to a resort hotel, I will make sure that you get some of the big accounts for our company are handed to you. So in other words, you have sex with me and I'll make sure that you have a good payday. So he did this with a number of women. Five of them sued him and the company. Five of them sued him and the company, and I think it was about 5 years later, they finally got to a point where they each were given roughly $30,000+. Can't remember if that was before the lawyer took his fee or not. Anyway, $30,000+ a piece after 5 years. And during those 5 years, when they went to try to get a job and they said, well, where did you work before? Why did you leave? Or if there was a gap in why weren't you working after this period of time, it ruined their ability to get a job. So I don't even want to say this out loud, but it was clear to me then, this is many years ago, clear to me then that if I was a woman, I would leave, I would go somewhere else, I would do something, but you fight back, you sue. And by the $30,000+, these women were making $80,000 to $100,000 a year in sales. So they lost a ton of money and they lost their careers. Yes, they won the legal fight, and yes, the guy who was the perpetrator got fired, but he went on to great success elsewhere in the industry. Nobody said, well, we're not going to hire you. Oh, it was fine. He was a very successful executive, so sure. So I look at this Les Moonves 100. If this turns out to be the number, the board is offering, according to Reuters, $100 million exit package for getting rid of him. By the way, the shares of CBS are up on the news. There's a guy at CBS that is viewed as the successor, and he's been very instrumental in CBS's success. So it's not like they're, you know, Les Moonves is irreplaceable. He's been the CEO and chairman. That's a problem, too, having the CEO and chairman be the same person. He's probably the highest paid executive in broadcasting. Last year, he made $69 million. And under his contract, he is entitled to up to $180 million in severance. But the board wants to reserve the ability to claw back some of the compensation depending upon the results of the investigation. And that means he may not get $100 million, but that's what's on the table right now. I don't know why they're giving him a penny. If the investigation finds out that it's true, why don't they just fire him? That would happen to you or me. So, according to a filing from CBS, if Moonves is terminated for cause, or in the event of a resignation without good reason, no incremental payments and benefits would be made. One of the definitions of cause include willful and material violations of any company policy, blah, blah. You know, you've seen those things. They're in every contract. Moonves has said that he may have made some women uncomfortable by making advances, which he calls a mistake and regrets immensely. But that he understood no means no, and he never used his position to harm anyone's career. Well, that's not exactly true. Moonves is reported to have done everything in his power, using his power and prestige in the broadcasting business, to ruin Janet Jackson after the infamous wardrobe malfunction at the 2004 Super Bowl halftime show. Afterwards, according to Huffington Post, the beleaguered CBS honcho, they say, was obsessed with ruining her career. That CBS used it, he used his powers to make sure that, you know, you never work in this town ever again. Her music videos and her songs were blacklisted by MTV and U.S. radio stations. Justin Timberlake apologized to Les Moonves. She never did. Yasir Ali, who is a very good reporter, said from actors to entertainment lawyers, people who ended up on the wrong side of Moonves would often become the target for years after they upset him. And one of the targets of Moonves' ire and vengefulness, according to multiple sources, was Janet Jackson. So Moonves wanted to ruin her. So he said, no. I've never used my power to harm anybody or their career. And so I jumped on a few women on my sofa in my office. Hey, give me $100 million and let's call it a day. What do you make of all this? I think this makes a mockery of the Me Too movement. I really do. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. Do you agree or disagree with me that this is a huge setback for the Me Too ladies? We'll be right back.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
So, I don't know, ladies. I think this takes a lot of wind out of the Me Too movement sail, only because of the fact that I don't see any punishment. And so if I or any other man doesn't have any worries about being punished, then c'est la vie. I don't see anything changing. But about Les Moonves, I don't know the man, but Howard Stern does. Because Howard worked for CBS Radio before he went off to Sirius XM. And when he left, Les Moonves went out to basically ruin him, absolutely ruin him for leaving CBS. And to Howard Stern's credit, he took a big gamble by going over to satellite radio, where not everybody gets to hear satellite radio, so you got to pay for it. But this was back in 2006. CBS sued Stern for $500 million for violating his contract. And that number is excessive by many, many multipliers. And Stern was leaving CBS for Sirius, and CBS accused him of promoting the new job on his CBS radio show. So in the settlement, Sirius agreed to pay CBS $2 million for the rights to 20 years of Howard Stern's show. And what Les Moonves did was turn around and said, let's sue him for $500 million and let's go after him. So Stern he spent 45 minutes on his radio show a couple of weeks back, going through the whole ordeal about how he was sued and his the bad blood he has with Les Moonves. So Moonves is a guy that sounds like, in my opinion, guy who will come after you and try and crush you if you cross his path. But $100 million, I don't know. Les Moonves is what? How old is Les Moonves? Let me look it up here and see what. He's 68. So he gets $100 million. He goes out and he retires, and he's got boatloads of money anyway. He's the highest paid broadcast executive in the country. But no penalty. No punishment. 855-295-6600. Claudia, welcome to the program. Hi, Claudia.
Hello. I obviously caught what was going on the radio, and that happened to me as far as the sexual abuse from my boss.
Yeah.
And he told me at some point if I wanted to keep my job, I had to have sex. And yeah. One time I had asked for a raise, and he told me I wasn't worth it, but he would give it to me. I mean, and the story goes on and on.
And you're not alone. You're not alone. So
no, like that.
Yeah. So, but here's the deal: it's not going to stop unless there is some punishment for the boss who does that, right?
Right. And at the time, I was too afraid of him, just like this broadcast that you're doing right now with that one gentleman who's going to get millions of dollars and all the abuse that he did. He should just be fired and get no money. It just amazes me what you're talking about right now.
Well, so everybody's all excited about the Me Too movement, and I, you know, well, I'm a man, so I automatically, you know, gender I put over here in the male column, and I didn't want to come across as some, you know, male chauvinist, but I thought at the time with all this Me Too stuff, I thought, well, good for them, these women that have been physically attacked by Harvey Weinstein, and the authorities now are on it, and they're, you know, he's been in court, he's going to be going to, I presume he's going to jail. But most of these guys, I'm looking and going, I don't think this is going to change a thing. And I didn't want to sound like the male chauvinist, you know, too bad, ladies, it's going to continue. But I'm telling you, too bad, ladies, this is, I don't see anything changing. I just don't see it, because these guys will not let this bother them. And unless you punish them, that they think there's some punishment for it, they're going to keep on doing it, I think.
Right. No, I believe what you're saying, but I was too afraid of them. This was in the mid-80s, and I was, you know, young, and now I'm older, and it would be so nice to go back, but, you know, the limitation, the time limitation you have.
Yep. Yeah,
I can do it.
Yeah, well, like I said, you're not alone. Claudia, thank you. We'll be right back.
Primetime, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Primetime it is. So, speaking of characters, so we got Les Moonves getting $100 million. Well, it's not a done deal. But, yeah, it makes you wonder. JPG1000 sends me an email. He says, it's good to be king. So they're going to punish him with $100 million. Yeah, that's exactly my point. He says, Dom, I would bet that he jumped on 10 women for every one that complained. He did it because it worked. I hate to say you're right, JPG, but you're right. Yeah, there were women that it worked, and so they said nothing because he was the big boss and powerful, and the ones who did fight back are 1 in 10, probably. Now, I don't even know if it's 1 in 100. I have no idea. We'll never know. We'll never know. Oh, Art, I see a lot of your emails, Art, and I keep meaning to read some of them. I like your stuff. He says, he's going back to the who wrote the op-ed. He says, does it really matter who wrote the editorial? Whoever wrote it apparently appointed himself the guardian of American liberty. What arrogance. Well, that's a swear word. I can't use it. We'll find out what scumbag wrote this sooner or later. I hope President Trump takes off the velvet gloves, throws the person in prison. I don't know what the charge would be. Make up one if you have to. After all, the left has been fabricating baloney about the president since 2015. Take your high blood pressure pills, Art, and relax. It's, yeah. I don't blame him for being upset. I don't blame the president for being upset. I saw a headline a few minutes ago about the fact that he doesn't want this person who wrote the op-ed in any of the meetings. Well, who's in? Then you can't have a meeting because you don't know who this person is and whoever's in the meeting. All right, one other character that seems to have gone off the rails literally is Elon Musk. I told you last week, Elon Musk is he's the guy who started PayPal, sold it for some enormous amount of money, immediately became a billionaire. So like some of these people, they think that once they start something successful, they can start other things successful. Well, this guy is one of these guys that has big ideas, big dreams. There's a certain DNA to people like Elon Musk and Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, and go down the list of people that have built giant operations. They're entrepreneurs extraordinaire. And so that's what he does. So he started the Tesla automobile. But Mercedes just announced they're coming out next year with they spend $12 billion on a new Mercedes electric car. It's going to challenge Tesla. So he's got problems there with other automakers with a lot more money and a lot more experience in building cars. They're going to be coming along. There's a bunch of them. Volvo, there's a whole group of them. Jaguar, that are coming out with electric cars. So he's got the car is great, and he really was ahead of his time. Now everybody recognizes that he really came up with a product that everybody that has a Tesla likes. So they're making them. So then he says, I'm going to go start Solar City, or he bought Solar City. I can't remember if he bought it or started, but anyway, he's into the solar business. Then he starts SpaceX. So he's launching rockets for NASA. And the whole idea is to launch a rocket that can be reused. Well, so is Jeff Bezos over at Amazon, is starting a rocket company as well. So he's got big ideas, but he's also getting some big competition. So Elon Musk, there is one of the cars, the Tesla models, there are three models, and one of them is called the Model 3, and they've had production problems trying to get these things up to a level of production that makes Wall Street happy. It's a publicly traded company. So Elon Musk goes on Twitter a month ago and says, hey, I'm thinking about taking the company private. Holy smokes, you can't do that. You can't say that on Twitter. You've got to go through the Securities and Exchange Commission. You're a publicly traded company. The stock exchanges have to be notified. There's a whole bunch of laws that he violated by doing that. Then he says, don't worry about it later, because they were complaining. Yeah, I got money lined up with Goldman Sachs and somebody else. And they came out and said, actually, we don't have a hard deal on financing anything. And so the stock rallied on his news that he was going to take it private, and ever since then he's been caught with basically saying stuff that isn't true. So he swears at the media, that the financial media, that on earnings calls and things like that, tells him, hangs up on him. He's a character, let me put it that way. He's a very big character. So now he appears on Joe Rogan's podcast, comedy podcast, and people are freaking out because he demonstrated his flamethrower. He invented a flamethrower, who knows why. He mused philosophically, and he sat there and smoked what people thought was he was smoking pot while doing this podcast. Meantime, back at the office, the chief accounting officer unexpectedly said, I'm resigning. See you later. He just started there 1 month ago. The chief accounting officer before him resigned back in March of this year. And they spent a few months trying to fill the position. They filled it with this guy, and he says, I'm out. The company's HR person, they call it the chief people officer, she said she's taking a leave of absence. So the stock dropped about 9% this morning on Elon Musk smoking something on this podcast and being kind of out there. Here's a little bit from the Joe Rogan Experience as Elon Musk lights up whatever it is.
So is that a joint? Or is it a cigar?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
It's marijuana inside of tobacco.
Oh, okay. So it's like posh pot tobacco posh.
You never had that?
Yeah, I think I tried one once.
Come on, man. You probably can't because stockholders, right?
I mean, it's legal, right?
It's totally legal.
Okay.
How does that work? Do people get upset at you if you do certain things? There's tobacco and marijuana in there. That's all it is.
So he'd lighten up tobacco and marijuana, whatever that's called. He's in California, so it's legal. The stock, which was almost $400 a share a couple months back, is now $263. And I don't know what's going to happen to this company. The guy is a genius, and he's got these huge ideas, and he's done things that nobody would think that anybody could do, and he's done multiple things, like I said, from starting PayPal to starting Tesla automobiles to SolarCity to SpaceX, and I mean, people are starting to wonder if he has snapped. If this has just been even too much for a guy that is as much of a genius as he is. So the total number of executive departures just in the last quarter, 21 executives at Tesla have said, see you later. The rats are fleeing the ship. 21 of them within the last 3 months have said, I'm out of here. And now he gets chief financial officer, quits. Then another one he hires, they quit. The head of HR quits. I hope Elon Musk is okay, because he truly is a genius. But it doesn't look like it. And the stock is taking a dive on his weird behavior. We'll be right back.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Well, we're just getting word from the federal court in Washington, and it's the very first sentence handed down by a judge in the Mueller probe of campaign people dealing with the Russians or accusations of it. And that, of course, is George Papadopoulos. He's the first guy. His guilty plea was that he pled guilty to lying to investigators. He lied to the FBI. And the problem was that Mueller was really upset with this guy, because once you give somebody immunity, that's it. Boy, you cannot keep lying after that, because if so, they'll yank that immunity and you are in deeper trouble than you ever were before. Well, the court has just ruled. Judge Randolph Moss in the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., has sentenced George Papadopoulos, the first member of the Trump campaign to be sentenced in Mueller's probe, to a whopping 14 days in jail. No, you heard that right. No, not 14 years, not 14 months, 14 days in jail. And this is a guy who not only lied to the FBI, but lied multiple times to Mueller's investigators, who are federal investigators, and kept lying to them. So it wasn't like this was just one oops, I said something that turned out where I didn't tell you the truth on that one. No, this is something where he was regularly lying. So his lawyers have said they want probation because he has already effectively served since his arrest. So he's been sentenced to 14 days in prison for lying to investigators. What do you make of this ruling? So we start off the hour talking about the $100 million to Les Moonves would be a real slap in the face to women that are part of the Me Too group fighting back against sexual harassment in the workplace. Because he's going to get a $100 million reward if it comes through. He's not going to be punished. Well, is this a punishment? Because if this is a punishment, I don't see why somebody else would not want to lie as well to federal investigators, going, I want the Papadopoulos sentence, please. So Papadopoulos pleaded guilty in October, lying to the FBI about his contacts with the London-based professor, Joseph Mifsud, who told Papadopoulos in April of 2016 that Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton. But during the hearing, a defense lawyer reportedly argued that Trump's constant attacks on Mueller's probe as fake news and a witch hunt hindered the investigation more than George Papadopoulos ever could. So in the courtroom, the defense lawyer for Papadopoulos said, don't blame my guy, blame Trump. He's the one who's causing more problems than anything. So the president weighed in before the sentencing, connecting Papadopoulos' experience with the special counsel to his own tug of war over in-person interviews. He says, I see Papadopoulos today. I don't know Papadopoulos. I don't know him. I saw him sitting at one picture at a table. That's the only thing I know about him. I don't know him. But they got him on, I guess, a couple of lies. So Papadopoulos falsely told investigators at least a dozen times that the conversation with the professor occurred before he joined the campaign. He was 28 at the time. He's 31 now. And he said he lied to minimize both his own role as a witness and to the extent of the campaign's knowledge of his contacts. New York Times reported the FBI's investigations into Russia's attempts to sway the election, that the investigation was started by Papadopoulos' big mouth about compromising Clinton information to an Australian diplomat a month after his meeting with the professor. Papadopoulos' lawyers dispute that characterization, but that's where the feds have said the whole investigation into Russia collusion with the campaign, getting dirt from Russia on Hillary, started with Papadopoulos talking to this Australian diplomat. So he said he was ashamed and remorseful, all that sort of stuff. And his defense lawyer said, to say George was out of his depth would be a gross understatement. Out of loyalty to the new president and his desire to be part of the administration, he hoisted himself upon his own petard. So the judge felt sorry for the guy. Said, okay. You, sir, are going to have to spend 14 days in jail. And the lawyers are already saying, hey, he's already kind of served. He's been going through all this. So, it's just been terrible for the man. So they're even trying to, I would say, 14 days, great. I was thinking the guy was going to get the book thrown at him. He's the first one. So Mueller, after all of this, I thought that he wanted to make a big statement and say, you see what happens if you mess with me, Bob Mueller? You're going to go away to the big house and they'll never see you again. That's what he's doing to Paul Manafort. But in this particular case, 14 days. Tomas Santana sent me a tweet saying, Tom, 14 days in jail. I wonder how many millions each day cost the American taxpayer. Mueller-gate is an extremely expensive sham that is doing nothing to stop the Russians. That's true. The Russians aren't going to slow down, not one iota. Jacob Johnson says, Tom, this judge might think the Mueller investigation is a witch hunt and is giving the sentence in protest. Ooh. Maybe so, saying, okay, Mr. Big Shot, you want us to throw the book at these people? Yeah, well, I'm going to give them a little slap on the wrist. I am very surprised. I don't know if you're surprised or not, but I am very surprised. I was thinking that he was going to get the book thrown at him. The first one. Make an example out of him. All right, so who else? Papadopoulos was the first guy that pled guilty under the Mueller investigation. Who was number two? That would be General Flynn. General Michael Flynn. He also was accused of lying to the FBI, but even the FBI agent said, nah, we didn't think he actually lied to us. So I'm thinking if I was General Flynn, I would say, let's go before that judge. It's got to be a huge weight off of Flynn, but You never know, but 14 days in jail is not even a slap on the wrist. Fascinating.